want to back up just a little bit. As we covered these passages over the last couple of weeks, there's a phrase that we've looked at in depth a little bit before, but I've learned over the years that repetition is the key to learning, and want to make sure that we don't miss this great truth and keep this vision, this dream in our hearts and in our minds, this great desire. And Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. And once you found your place there, would you stand with me, please? Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Let's stop right there and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather tonight, for the great blessings that we've been able to enjoy today and through this past week. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts through your word tonight. Lord, give us a desire, a passion, just a will and a purpose to see the number of the disciples multiplied, not only here, but around the world. Lord, we pray that the word of God would increase in our hearts, in our families, in this church, in our community, in our state, around this nation, around the world. God, we pray for your word to increase, for disciples to be multiplied. And we pray that you'll help us to be faithful and obedient to you so that we can be a part of your great kingdom work. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You'll remember that Jesus said that unless a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat falls to the ground and perishes, it cannot produce fruit. But when it does that, when it falls to the ground and it dies, it brings forth abundant fruit, multiplies. Could be 30-fold, could be 60-fold, could be 100-fold. But unless that grain, that corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't do that. We want to have God multiplying his word in our hearts and in our lives. We want to see God multiplying his work, and that's not going to happen unless you and I die to ourselves and we're filled with the Spirit of God. When we do that, then we can start to see his word multiply. The fruit of the Spirit multiplied, the fruit of evangelism multiplied. Now, I know that a lot of the things I'm going to share with you for just a few minutes tonight, I've talked to you about before, but as I said a moment ago, repetition is the key to learning. We need to know these truths. We need to let them sink down into our ears and to our hearts. Peter said as long as he had breath, he wanted to remind them, to put them in remembrance of these truths. So that's what I want to do tonight. We know that in the beginning, when the Spirit of God came and empowered the church of Jerusalem, God began to add to the church. In Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In Acts 2:47, the Bible says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In Acts 5 and verse 14, the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. And so in that beginning stages, when they were empowered with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, they went everywhere preaching the Word of God, as it went out, believers were added. They were added, and they were added, and that's glorious. Don't we rejoice when people are added? I mean, somebody gets saved, somebody is baptized, they're added, and we rejoice in that. You look at all of the events that led up to what we read a moment ago in Acts chapter 6. Now, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, the scripture says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And we saw a few weeks ago how they dealt with that, how they came together and found a solution, and they dealt with the issue so that they could focus on the word. You remember the apostle said, doesn't make sense for us to leave the word and serve tables. We need to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word, but these other things have to be taken care of as well. But they kept their priorities straight. They didn't get mixed up on their priorities. I read about a church down in the south. I can't remember if it was Alabama or Mississippi or somewhere down there, but One of the things they started to do as a church, they started a fundraiser by selling fried chicken, because what kind of Baptist church wouldn't do well selling fried chicken? Well, they started that and did it as a fundraiser for a while, but the fried chicken business got so good, they shut down the church and kept the restaurant going. Yeah, that's kind of messed up, isn't it? But that's what happens so many times. We get some problem, some issue that comes up, some side issue that becomes a big deal, and we focus our attention on that, and we lose our focus on what really matters, and that's exalting Christ. That's being obedient to what He's called us to do. And so they were added, and multitudes were added, and there were problems that came. But when the days came, when the number of the disciples, they weren't just being added, they were being multiplied. What's that mean? It means that it wasn't just coming from the apostles. It wasn't just coming from those first witnesses. It wasn't coming from just the 120 that were empowered on Pentecost. Now multiplication's happening because you're getting to the second and third and fourth and fifth generation of disciples. Now it's not just the disciples, the first church members going and making disciples. Now it's the disciples of the disciples who are making disciples. That's when multiplication happens. That as a follower of Christ, I'm helping someone else follow Jesus to the point that they're helping someone else follow Jesus. That's multiplication. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. And all of the events that happened through Acts, I believe, were critical components to getting to that point. So consider with me, first of all, it starts with prayer. In Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It was the men, it was the women, it was all of them together with one accord in prayer. And they were praying, not just for, not just for Aunt Susie's ingrown toenail, and not just for, you know, somebody's cat sick and at the animal hospital, but they were praying for the Spirit of God to come. They were praying for the power to do the work that God called them to do. It's not that they didn't pray about those other things. Maybe they did. I don't know, but I know that they did pray about doing the work that God had called them to do. They were focused on eternal things, and so we have to have prayer and the right kind of prayer. The second thing was the power of the Spirit. Jesus told them, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses here, there, and everywhere." And so it was prayer, then it was the power of the Spirit. And when they got the power of the Spirit, they operated in the power of the Spirit. Remember, they were preaching the word everywhere they went. They were given miraculous ability to heal people. You remember the lame man who had been lame for 40 years and all that happened because of that testimony. And so they were doing the work in the power of the Spirit. Amen. You cannot live for Jesus in your own strength. You can't do it. You can try. You can try to muster it up. You can say, "Man, I'm messed up, but I'm going to do better today." And you will fail unless you're walking in the power of the Spirit. Amen. You say, I wasn't a very good witness last week. I'm going to be a better witness. Well, you better do it in the power of the Spirit or you won't do it at all. Right. We try to fix ourselves all the time. And I just want to help you tonight. Stop trying to do it in your own strength, trying to make something happen on your own. What you have to do is die to yourself. Mortify your members, yield yourself to God, and cry out to Him and say, "Lord, I can't do this, but I want to do it. Help me to live for you. Help me to be what you've called me to be. I'm never going to be the husband I ought to be without the power of the Spirit. I'm never going to be a good dad without God working in me. I'm never going to be a pastor or a teacher or a witness or anything that I would want to be for God unless I'm yielded to Him and filled with His Spirit. I can't do it. I can't do it, and neither can you." So it's prayer and it's the power of the Spirit. Number three, it was persecution. We won't take the time to go through it all, but in chapter 4, because they had healed the man, because the crowds were coming, they were persecuted. They were told, "Shut up, don't talk about Jesus anymore." And so they threatened him and let him go. But they went back and they preached more. They wouldn't stop preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. So then they arrested him and they beat him. And then they went back and preached some more. Listen, persecution didn't stop them. Persecution is part of what brought them to a place of multiplication. Because they were praying and they were walking in the power of the Spirit and preaching in the power of the Spirit, persecution came. And you just count on it. If you and I will be faithful witnesses for Jesus, persecution is going to come to this church. It's going to come to your family. It's going to come in your life. It may be somebody very close to you. It may be somebody you don't even know on social media. But I promise you, persecution is going to come. But don't be discouraged. Expect it. We read it. Don't be surprised. As though some strange thing happened to you. When you live for God, when you live godly for Christ Jesus, persecution is going to come. So it was the prayer, it was the power of the Spirit, it was the persecution, and it was the presence of Jesus. You guys remember Acts 4:13, one of my favorite things in the Bible. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Man, I love it. I'm so thankful that God uses ignorant and unlearned people. I am. I'm saying that as a joke. It's you know, it's all relative. Some people look at me and they think I know something. I don't. I get around other people and I think, man, they know something. And the reality is, it doesn't matter how much any of us know. If we're not with Jesus, if we're not in His presence, we won't have His power and it won't matter. You can have all the PhDs and doctrine in the world and it won't matter unless we're walking with Jesus. And you can be without all that education and walk with Jesus and have a greater impact on the kingdom than anybody. But we've got to have the presence of Jesus. So it was prayer. It was the power of the Spirit. It was persecution. It was the presence of Jesus. Number five, it was purification. You'll remember everything was going really, really good, but in the middle of all the greatness, there was sin in the camp. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira decided to lie to the Spirit of God. And God dealt with the sin that had come into the church. We were talking a little before church about the reality that the Spirit of God that's in you, the inner man, it can't sin. That's what 1 John tells us. He leaves the seed of His Spirit in you. The Spirit lives inside of you. That part of you that's been made new in Christ, that new creature can't sin. But we still have the outer man. Amen. We still have the carnal mind. We still have that. So we're not trying to say that you can't sin. We're trying to say that there's a part of you that's been made completely new. And what we want is that new man, that inner man, to be stronger than the old man. We want to mortify that old man, right? Amen. But I just want to help you tonight. Brace yourself. There's sin in this church. There's sin in this church that you don't know about. You know how I know? Because I'm here. I know there's sin in this church because I'm here and I am a sinner. And I do wrong things and I think wrong things and I say wrong things. And worse than that, I don't do good things. I don't do the things that I know I ought to do. And I'm telling you, because I'm here and as long as I'm here, there will be sin in this church. But I need to be real with you. If you're here, there's sin too. And we desperately need purification. Just because, listen to me, don't relax because we can all amen the fact that we're all sinners. That doesn't excuse our sin. That means we all need to be purified of our sin. When we sin against the Lord, we need to repent. We need to forsake it. We need to be cleansed. I've told you so many times we need to keep short accounts with God. And dear friends, we do. When you sin against God, you need to go to Him immediately and say, Lord, forgive me. And if you have to do it every 5 minutes, do it every 5 minutes. Whatever it takes. If you're ashamed, if you've asked God to forgive you to the point you're ashamed, keep asking Him to forgive you. Amen. Keep confessing, keep repenting, keep turning away. And I know some of you right now are like, listen, if you repented, you wouldn't be doing it again. Well, I can't answer for you, but I can tell you for me, I have genuinely repented and then turned around and done the same thing. Now, maybe that's messed up in your world, but I'm just telling you the reality of who I am. So what do? Well, you didn't really repent or you wouldn't have done it again. Well, listen, I can't explain the war that's in my members. Amen. But you go home and read Romans 7, and I think it does a pretty good job of describing what happens in me. And if I'm just going to guess, I'm going to say it's the same thing that happens in you. Amen. So what do? Well, I repented. It didn't work. Well, repent again. And you repent again, and you repent again, and you fall down, you get back up again. And you cry out to God, and you confess your sin, and He will forgive you. Amen. What if I do it 70 times? He'll still forgive you. He wants you to forgive your brother 70 times 7. You think He won't go above and beyond that? He will. Amen. And when you get so ashamed, you hate to even go back, you go back again. We have to have purification. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to deal with your sin before he has to. So it's prayer, the power of the Spirit, the persecution, the presence of Jesus, the purification. And number six, it was the prioritizing of the Word of God. They preached the Word consistently, daily, in the temple, in every house. They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. They preach the Word of God continually. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And in Acts 6, 7, we read, the Word of God increased. You know, I think we can have a lot of activities. We can have a lot of things that we do. We can have a lot of ministries and a lot of different programs. We can have all of that stuff. And that's all okay as long as it's to increase the Word of God. Amen. I think we have a great Vacation Bible School. Amen. If I do say so myself. No, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord. It's good. God's blessed us. Amen. Bless us with creative people and hard workers. But I want to tell you why Vacation Bible School is great. The decorations are awesome. I mean, Wayne's a master tree builder if you ever need a fake tree built. I mean, we had some great decorations and the classrooms looked awesome. The music was a lot of fun. I mean, if you haven't had slugs and bugs in your head, I don't. All that stuff's great. But what makes Vacation Bible School great is the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Listen, we don't just bring the kids in here and play games and have fun. We bring them in, play games and have fun so that we can teach them the Word of God. Amen. It's, listen, some of these kids may never hear the Word of God again all summer or all year. Right. Or God forbid, some of them may never hear it again the rest of their life, but they came here and they heard it because we're going to make the Word of God priority. Amen. And the Word of God has got to increase. But listen, it can't just increase from the preaching. It can't just increase from the Sunday school classes. It has to increase in your life. Amen. If you are not studying the Bible on your own at home, you have to start. If you're not taking the Word of God with you and it's increasing in your vocabulary, talking to other people, it must. If you would see the number of the disciples increase in this place, the Word of God has to increase in your life. If you want to see the number of the disciples multiplied, you have to have the Word of God increasing in your life, your family, your witness as you go through your day-to-day life. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I want to plead with you tonight. Pray. Pray for the Spirit of God to give you power to be witnesses. Die to yourself. Yield to the Spirit. Let His power work through you. Be in the presence of Jesus every moment of every day and let the Word of God increase in your heart, in your life, in your home, and in your vocabulary. When you go out, you speak the Word of God into others' lives and you watch. We'll see disciples begin to multiply here if we'll be faithful to follow the pattern that we see in the Scriptures. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come right now while we sing.